Good to have each of you out this morning, and I invite you to take your Bibles and turn along with me. We are starting a new month, and we are starting a new theme. Basically, it came about because I was going through a bunch of old sermons, and I looked at it and said, we haven't talked about any of these things, and I just got this miscellaneous pile of topics that need to be discussed. And so I came up with a category of false teaching. So we can talk about the various things that deal with false teaching. And we need to understand that false teaching is always going to be a problem. It's always going to be around us. But before I get into that, I want you to talk about something different. We're going to talk about sharks. Sharks are notorious for swallowing just about anything. People have found books, bottles, tablecloths, and nails inside of sharks. Clearly, sharks have large appetites and are not very discriminating in their taste. There is a small fish also known as the sea hedgehog or urchin fish. This small fish has a basically can have spines all around it. And it can deploy by puffing itself up into a round ball when it's in danger. So if a shark swallows a sea hedgehog, well, the fish puffs itself up and its spine slices the shark's throat and its stomach. And once in the stomach, the sea hedgehog then eats his way out of the stomach and eventually out the side of the shark. And eventually the shark dies. And my point is not about sharks, but the fact that people are much like sharks. They'll swallow any idea that comes along, whether it's good for them or not. In fact, oftentimes we're told, well, a prophet has told me, and it's amazing how many people will consult so-called prophets. I get notes from people who want to know if they should get married or how to solve a marriage problem. And some prophet has told them they shouldn't be married or they should never get married or tell them all sorts of just arbitrary things. You know, the answers that these prophets are giving them are clearly the prophet's own opinions. And biblically, they can be shown to be incorrect. But people swallow them. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 13, Deuteronomy 13, Moses gives a test. How do you know if someone is actually speaking God's word? And he says in Deuteronomy 13, that if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. But the prophet or the dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to seduce you from the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so you shall purge the evil from among you. The main test of a prophet is, does he ever teach you things that God didn't say? And looking out in the world around us with all the so-called prophets that we have around here, that would probably about eliminate 80% of them right there. A true prophet never contradicts God's teachings. Because if they're coming from God, God doesn't contradict himself. There's another test in Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, And starting at verse 20, but the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You shall may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Here's then another aspect of it. God does not lie. So if God says something is going to happen, it will happen. A prophet who's claiming to be speaking on behalf of God and makes a prediction and it doesn't happen is not speaking from God. He's lying. If he speaks about the future, it will always be correct. And if you add that test on there, that just eliminates the rest of the prophets that are running around here these days, because it's very easy to show that they prophesy things that just don't come true. Amen. And of course, what's missing also is a simple thing that God has said. And it's amazing how many people choose to ignore a very plain statement. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, it says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecies, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. God plainly says prophecy was going to come to an end, along with other miraculous gifts. But the problem is there are people who really prefer the lies. They'd rather be told what they want to hear than to know that something comes from God. And in Jeremiah 5 and in verse 31, it says, the prophet prophesies falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do in the end of it? People love it, but it's not going to profit them. So don't believe a prophet who doesn't come from God. In Jeremiah 28, and in verse 8, the prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times prophesied against many lands and against great kingdoms of wars and of calamity and of pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then that prophet will be known as the one whom the Lord has truly sent. Jeremiah was prophesying that Israel was going to be wiped out. Nobody wanted to hear that. And so he basically says, well, we'll find out who's right. It's going to be either peace or war. I told you war. We'll see what comes out. But you know, it's not just a past problem either, or a problem among the denominations. You have people that say, well, my preacher told me. And the problem is we're told specifically that there will be false teachers among the brethren. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 1, it says, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Jesus even said before the destruction of Jerusalem that false teachers would start arising. As he talked about the signs to watch for the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24, and starting at verse 4, he said, Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying I am the Christ, and will mislead many. This is going to be an ongoing problem. And so we're warned not to believe everything that we hear. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." How do you know whether somebody's preaching God's word? Check it against God's word. In fact, that's what the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and in verse 11. "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." It's the same test that was applied to the prophets in the past. God doesn't contradict himself. God's not going to have one preacher preach one thing and somebody preach another. Both are not coming from God, because God does not contradict himself. But Satan will try to make himself look like a prophet of God. He will make himself look like somebody who is teaching the truth while not teaching the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11 and starting at verse 12. "But what am I doing? What I'm doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter which we are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as angels of light, an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." We should not be surprised. There are going to be false teachers. There are going to be people teaching things that are wrong. And Satan's going to try to make it look as right as possible to get people to swallow it. So we have to check what people say. We have to look at what they do. In fact, but that's what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruit." Look at what they produce. Look at what the result of their lives are. Because if someone's preaching the gospel of God, they're going to live by the gospel of God. But then you also run into people who will tell you, "Well, I read this in a book." Or these days, "I saw it on the internet." There are false teachers who deceive people. They're out there in the world. In Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And in verse 4. "I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments." They're going to have sophisticated, nice-sounding arguments, but they're delusions. There are going to be people who speak words, but they really have no real meaning. They don't have real content. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 18. "For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error." They'll entice. They'll use words that have no real meaning. They'll use sensuality, things that people desire, to entice people to do things that are wrong. And they do that to promote themselves. In Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse 18. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. And there always will be people who get caught up in false teachings. And they'll bounce around from one false idea to another. Whatever is the latest fad, whatever is the latest trend. And in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. As a result, we are to no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Instead, we're to do exactly what, again, Moses said in the Old Testament. We are to check to see if it's true. Because as Paul points out in Galatians chapter 1, Galatians 1, and starting with verse 6, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. God is consistent in his message. The Bible is recorded for us. It is written for us. It has been proven to be God's word. And when someone comes along and starts teaching something, and you say, well, wait a minute, I can't find that in my Bible. We're not to follow after it. We're not to just swallow it indiscriminately and think that we are following after God. Sadly, there are some people who will believe anything that they're told. And in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, the naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. And so as Christians, we're told we need to check. Even this lesson, I'm expecting people to check whether this is what God says. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 12, for what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. We are told to judge within ourselves. Look to see whether this is really what God wants us to do. We shouldn't put up with false teaching. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. Again, it's no wonder even Satan disguises himself. Or sorry, verse 4. But if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. Paul's saying this satirically. The Corinthians were accepting anything that came along, instead of checking to see what God actually said. We have to understand the world is full of people who have their own agenda and they're not really wanting to follow God. Just because something has been written, something has been published, somebody has said this, somebody claims that you have a message from God, it doesn't make it so, because there are people who lie all over the place. And I hope you'll think about these things. We're going to continue this evening. We're going to talk about one popular myth, and that's called reincarnation. It's taught by Hindus, it's taught by Buddhists, it's taught by even people who claim to be Christians. And we're going to look and see what the Bible actually says about that this evening. But at this point in time, we have an opportunity that if there's anyone here who is not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God, we'd like the prayers of your brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.